Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. We're going to have a delicious conversation, and you're going to understand that more as we dive into our talk today with two young entrepreneurs who came to the SBDC and now have not one, but soon to be two boba stars. Oh, my goodness. Welcome, if you will, the boba king and queen of the Inland Empire here, David Friedman. And let's see if I'm going to say this real fast because I may not get this perfect here. Is it Tansu Philip?
Yeah, you got it.
I got it close enough? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Tell me the evolution of Tansu just before I forget here. Is that have a name that comes from your culture, from your family? Where is the name? I never heard that name before.
Thank you for asking. Yes, actually, a lot of people, I'm Indian American, and people assume that it's an Indian name, but it's actually Turkish and Japanese. My mom just liked the name. She heard it. She was watching the news, I guess, when she was in labor, and Tansu Çiller, the prime minister of Turkey, was on TV, and she's, that's a good name.
That's the name for me. I'm naming her after the prime minister of Turkey. All right.
Yes. Well, who ended up being actually a problematic person, but that's okay.
That's okay. Another whole story here. Maybe not the right person as a role model for their newborn child.
Correct. Yeah, but that's okay.
Tansu is fixing the reputation for that name.
Yes,
she is. I only know of one person. That's you. So I think of it positively from this point forward here. All right. So you guys are doing something. In addition to a cool name, it's got to be the coolest, hottest product on the planet, at least here in Southern California right now. And that is boba. David, tell everybody what boba is for the two people that don't know what boba shops or boba is.
Of course. So boba is made up of tapioca flour, and it's formed into these little balls, and you cook it. We cook ours anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, and it turns into this, I like to call it like al dente pasta style. Like it's a little squishy in your mouth. It's got a texture.
It's like gelatinous. It feels like a little.
It's a little gelatinous. Yeah. If you cook it, it's not too gelatinous.
Okay.
That's why I like to say it's al dente pasta. And then you dip it in brown sugar or all sorts of syrup. Some people dip it in honey and it takes on that flavor. You put it in the drink and you suck it up through these big straws. And
big straws, and you get these gelatinous pellets that come up. And it comes
you have to be careful.
Yeah, and it comes with all sorts of flavors, right, attached to this thing here.
Absolutely.
Or is it just one? Because only time I ever, I'm an old guy, what do I know? And only time I ever saw boba was when I went to Thai restaurants, and they'd have boba tea.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
Tea, and I had like milk or cream or something in it, and tea, which was tasty. And then they had, for some reason, these gelatinous balls in there, these tapioca balls in there. Where does this come from? Why put tapioca balls in a drink?
It's popular in Thai restaurants, but it's actually not a Thai drink. It's often served in Thai restaurants because of Thai tea, which obviously is Thai.
Right.
But it actually has a Taiwanese background. It's from Taiwan. I think it started off as like a desserty drink, and it often is still that. But a lot of people, especially younger people, a lot of high schoolers, teenagers, go get boba as a snack because you're not old enough to drink. You're not going to go to the bar. So why not go grab some boba? And it has that similar late night culture appeal to it as well.
Yeah, it's like a cool, it's not a coffee, doesn't have to be a coffee drink, it's not necessarily a coffee, but it's Thai iced tea. But I'm telling you, boba shops are popping up all over the place. And the point is, I have a 10-year-old grandson who we pick up a couple times a week after school or whatever to watch him. And my wife says, this kid's, I got to get him boba. And we start looking at the boba shops in. He lives over in Tustin. There's one in there. There's one. We've seen one.
Oh, my God. Lucky kid. Orange County is the place to be for boba.
It is. There's one in Santa Ana. Suddenly we're noticing there's one right in our neighborhood. We live down near like Ladera. There's a boba shop that just popped up there.
Yeah.
And the Thai restaurant doesn't have just regular Thai iced tea. They have mango and strawberry and all these other different flavors. What caused this explosion? How did it move out of this niche you say Taiwanese originally. I've seen it in Thai. How did it expand to the general public so quickly? Either one of you that wants to tackle that one here.
I'll take this one. I would say there's a huge cultural shift with boba. It first was introduced to America in the 90s, which I was born in the 90s. So I didn't really notice the uptick until I was about 7 or 8 years old living in the Bay Area. In Palo Alto, there was a little boba shop. And the whole thing at that time was boba was always sold with other salty, easily accessible, cheap snacks. So for my local shop growing up as a kid, it was boba and Taiwanese fried chicken. And I think all it took was one, and I mentioned that this happened in the Bay Area because that's significant. There was a huge Asian population in the Bay Area, and there's a huge Asian population in Orange County and in Irvine as well.
Right.
So one thing I love about us Asian people is if we're going to move somewhere and there's going to be a bunch of us, you bet we're going to bring our food with us.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's really, that speaks to the cultural growth of boba. And honestly, though, it's been amazing to watch it grow, even in communities where there aren't a lot of Asian people, just because people love it, which is so cool. And it's so great that sometimes these foods are merely just trends, but we're well into over 30 years of boba culture in America, and there's no signs of it slowing down at any point.
So how did you decide? What's your background? What had you been in the restaurant business, you guys here? Had you been in something else? What led you to think, aha, I'm not only going to enjoy this, I'm going to bring it to more people, particularly out in San Bernardino, where I don't think there's a lot of Asian people out there. Either one of you that wants to jump into that one.
Maybe we can split this one. I'll start by saying I got into boba just because I personally liked it. I've had it since I was about 7 years old, but I was working a different job. I went to film school. I was working at CBS in casting, and I hated it.
You went to film school and you actually got into CBS and you're casting? Oh my goodness, that's the pinnacle. That's right
there.
Thank
you. You would think, right? But that's why it was so crazy and disheartening when I realized I actually didn't love it. Honestly, I'm still in Hollywood, but now I'm in front of the camera as an actor. I'm better suited. But being in the corporate area, that was not working for me. So I would spend my bathroom breaks crying and calling David and being like, I wish I could do anything else. And then David says he's in real estate. You can see he has his Real Accord sweatshirt on. He has his own real estate company. I just bought some buildings in San Bernardino, which is next door to our hometown where we grew up in Redlands. What if we did something with it? And at this point, I had zero background in business, but I said, I have nothing to lose. I hate this job. Let's open a boba shop. There's no boba in San Bernardino.
No.
What's your version of the story?
No, that's pretty correct. I remember there being a lot of stressful moments, especially since this was our first time doing anything in food and neither of our families had any restaurants, nothing like that.
Nothing. And we'd only been together. This part is crazy in hindsight. We'd only been dating 2 years at this point when we decided to open.
Wow.
We're now 7 years in.
Wow.
But at 2 years to take that leap of faith, I'm going to open a business and put my name on an LLC with a partner.
Yeah.
Kind of a ballsy move.
But I think, so actually we're not married, but we basically are. We have a business. We have a house together. And two chihuahuas.
Two chihuahuas. That's it. That's the end of the deal.
That's the deal. Right. Doesn't
exactly.
it? Yeah.
And I think we had gone on so many dates in LA going to boba shops. And when I pitched this idea of let's open something in San Bernardino, it started out with, hey, let's open a coffee shop. And Tunsu was like, why? That's been there, done that. Let's do boba. And we were like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And after a lot of trial and error, we came up with a name.
We've been saving that for the last because it's the coolest.
We'll
once you hear it, folks, you're going to say it in your head over and over again. Whether you like boba or not, wouldn't you want to go to a place called Viva La Boba? I don't know why that is. Viva Las Vegas. Viva La Boba just sounds so cool. I just want to go there. I don't know why.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the idea behind the name. We wanted actually the whole point of opening in San Bernardino, even though we're both from Redlands, is we wanted to revitalize that specific community. It's a community that for people who are not familiar is after their Air Force Base closed, 30 years ago, longer?
And the bankruptcy they went through out there.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So once that all happened, people left and wrote off San Bernardino, and then the government became corrupt, and it's been a whole thing. We don't go to San Bernardino. It's not safe, and there's nothing to do there. And we're like, that's not true. David's a graduate of Cal State San Bernardino. He's a very proud San Bernardino advocate.
Bernardinan. So, I don't know what you call them.
What is the term? A San Bernardino or something?
I don't know.
Dino.
A San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. Yeah.
But we essentially identified that need in the community for a boba shop.
Not necessarily a boba shop. Like a community space. Yeah.
No, for me, I disagree. I specifically wanted a boba shop because when we were living in San Bernardino and we wanted to get boba, mm-hmm. we had to drive 20 minutes to the yeah. next town to get it. So I'm like, why shouldn't there be one in San Bernardino?
Now everybody's going to send me hateful emails, but I've been to San Bernardino. It doesn't seem like the coolest, most cutting edge place. Even though Redlands does. Redlands is a very cool town. Sure. Redlands has a lot of cool restaurants and stuff. San Bernardino is huge government center. That's really what props it up, not just the airbase yeah. and stuff.
Absolutely.
You've got San Bernardino County seat, the city offices, yep. state offices. That whole downtown is just filled with federal workers. I would think, are you anywhere near the downtown or were you
That's
located?
Exactly where we're located.
We're in the
downtown.
Heart. Yeah. We're surrounded by government workers. And I think that's where the opportunity lied was yeah. that if you look at the demographics, like just from a pure data perspective of opening a business in San Bernardino,
right.
it doesn't look so hot. But when you think, oh, okay, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., all these government workers come to downtown, 25,000 right. plus workers every day. There's a huge market
yeah.
and it's untapped. And so,
and they're the type of young demographic, probably, maybe not all young, but
more and more becoming more and more. Yeah.
Office workers who want to go out and get a coffee and they've been there and done that. So what else can we grab?
Exactly.
This, and then maybe have something that's cool and fun and entertaining yeah. and tasty and all the things. I don't know why boba is that, but you're going to go to Viva La Boba.
Yes,
absolutely.
It has that appeal. And that's, sorry, the history behind our name as well is I wanted the name to be reflective of the community that we were opening in. And mm-hmm. it's a primarily Latinx Hispanic community. So I didn't just want some random boba store name.
Yeah.
I was like, why not?
Boba San Bernardino. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's how that came about. But I'm glad it resonates with you.
I'm just going to keep saying it even after the show's over. Viva la boba. It sounds like a whole battle cry here. So it sounds like a party ready to happen here. La vida
exactly.
loca.
Like
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
All right. So now you're taking this big leap together and you have decided to open the shop. When did you open up and how's it gone?
We opened on International Women's Day, which is March 8th, 2019. So okay. it's been 5 years now, which I can't even wrap my head
during
around.
COVID and okay. shutdowns yeah. and nobody can go anywhere or do anything.
Exactly. It was a great crash course in opening a business. As it was, I had no background in business, but mm-hmm. having to pivot during COVID certainly taught me a lot about
yeah.
running a business.
And how did you
open.
Pivot? Like a delivery? I would think you're doing a lot of deliveries and stuff as
yes.
opposed to coming in and sitting there in the store and drinking.
Sure.
It.
But also we made a solid effort to work with our local government to make sure we were meeting the mandates while still being able to provide takeout. So as long as people, if I remember correctly, as long as people were masked and our baristas were always masked, they were able to come in for X amount of minutes.
Your boba baristas. Oh, come
boba
on.
Baristas,
boba
that's
baristas.
That's the official term. Yes.
Okay.
They would come in masked and they had like X amount of time to make and place and pick up their order. And then that was it. So it was sad because we are a community oriented spot, of course, to not have the seating and not have people sitting and enjoying the space like it was originally designed to be. What's in the past now. And we made it work.
I hear more and more people talk about every business, whether it's a yoga studio or a boba shop or a cookie thing. It's a community place. That means, we'll let David answer this, that you don't just walk in, grab the product and go.
Correct.
There's something like a Starbucks that you want to hang out and stay there. Define a community space as you see it and what community aspects have you built into this space other than I show up, I order number two and I walk out.
I'll let Tensu add on to this, but I think we create space for the community to do certain things. For example, we have an art program. So once a month, we have a BIPOC artist who installs art on our walls.
What kind of artist?
BIPOC. You want to?
Yes. BIPOC is Black, Indigenous, or person of color.
Okay.
So we're trying to support a diverse community and bring in their art. And it gives pride of ownership. When you have an artist who comes in and they show their family or friends, hey, my art is hosted here. You know, they now have ownership of that space. They're like, wow, Viva La Boba sees me. They want to showcase my stuff. And it creates this feeling of community in the space, right?
And so and a reason come to back. Come back again to see what's
exactly.
next and to have an ongoing. And so do people. I was always stunned years ago. I was in the restaurant business a million years ago.
Oh,
and
so you're crazy like us then, huh?
Oh, yeah. I had an Irish pub because I'm Irish, and it was called Kelly McHugh's, and it was around for 10 years. Wow. And it was an Irish pub dressed up as a billiard club, sports bar kind of thing. And so what we were trying to make it a place like Cheers where people could come and hang out. That's right around the time, this is back in the 90s, back when Starbucks was really getting going and all the other chains mm-hmm. like them. And what stunned me was we gave away coffee. Coffee was what you gave for free, for a nickel, for a dime, for a penny, mm-hmm. whatever, just so that people wouldn't leave, have some coffee. Mm-hmm. It was the free, like water. And now you sell water, you sell coffee. And then when I'd go to these coffee places, coffee houses, this whole culture sprang up. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to read. I'm going to listen to poetry readings. I'm going to sit in my remote office. I'm going to work from there and all this stuff. Is it that same vibe here? Is it a place where I go and I hang out and I sip and with all my trendy, cool boba friends here or something?
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it, Paul. That's exactly what it is. It really speaks to a third place. I don't know if you've heard of that concept before. No. A third place is something that is not work and it's not home. And it's a place where you can spend your time. And it's popular in Europe because they have a lot of walkable cities. It's easy to spend time.
Coffee,
usually pubs, actually.
Cafes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or even an Irish pub where everybody knows your name. So that is very much the definition of a third place. And that's what we are. And that comes right down to even design of our space. We have outlets. We have fast Wi-Fi. We have hooks for your bags. We have comfortable seating. We have indoor and outdoor seating. Yeah, especially when we're lucky to live in Southern California and have access to great weather. But community is so much more than just saying, oh, yeah, we're a community spot.
Right.
It has to be right down to the details of the design of the space, of the programs you do. We do trash cleanups. We fundraise for local schools. We are sponsors of local sports teams.
We have music events.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you have music? Do you have poetry readings?
All the time. Sure. Yeah. We are open to all sorts of art. We collaborate with a lot of other local businesses in downtown San Bernardino because we do believe we're all stronger together. So. Yeah.
You just had a book club.
Oh yeah, we just hosted our first queer book club hangout.
Yeah, it was great.
Viva La Boba. Everyone
like
got drinks.
People. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
And at the end, did they all yell, "Thank you for doing this"? Viva La Boba!
In unison. How did you know?
Yeah. Just like that.
All right. So, what a cool sounding place here.
And
it's been around for a couple of years now. Here, how big is it? What's a boba shop look like?
It's small. It's
tiny.
So, the minimum size for a restaurant, food and beverage in San Bernardino County is 750 square feet, and we are 782 square feet.
Wow.
So
we just met that, right?
We just met it. But that being said, it actually feels like we have a lot of space in there. We probably have about 5 tables inside. We have a stand-up bar where you can either get on a stool or stand up. And what's nice though is since we're in a breezeway, we have a lot of outdoor seating. So even though our
space inside is small. Are you in that breezeway in between? There used to be what was the courthouse bar and grill or something. There was some place.
Yes.
That's the one?
Yep. You know that place?
I know that when we get off, I'm going to tell you the history. I helped set up the courthouse bar and grill.
Okay. Come visit us, Paul.
Yeah. I actually helped set that whole thing up. And it was
serious?
And that was when there was a downtown redevelopment plan. This was like the 90s. And they thought they built the breezeway and they're going to do all these connected things. And then the whole thing crashed and burned and San Bernardino fell into a hole here.
Oh, well, we have a lot to talk about.
The breezeway's back. Let me tell you that.
It was a cool, for those who don't know, there's like old historic buildings and stuff downtown. And there was a breezeway. I wonder what you'd call it. A little tiny alley, a little place you can walk between one street and the next. And it had all sorts of cool little shops at one time in there, little shops. And then so you'd walk through this, I felt like I was in New Orleans or something, hidden alleyways with hidden things there. So.
We did go through a period of depression and the buildings were vacant.
Yeah,
But they're all filled now. Every single building in that breezeway now has some sort of business.
Had so much belief in that downtown that I worked on this project and we thought it was going to be a cornerstone for the whole thing. And then the whole city fell apart and the whole idea fell down the tubes. And anyway, sad.
I'm so glad you're familiar with the history of San Bernardino.
Because there's tons of office, like you said, that go in there and sit there. And they're the right demographic. They got money to spend. They're really well-heeled. They're interested, they're young, they want to mingle and single and all this stuff. They want to go and hang out and do all this stuff after work. They don't want to just get on the freeway and drive home, which is what they're all doing.
There you go. That's a third place. You figured it out.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. All right. I'm pleased that has popped up and I'm pleased that you guys have taken advantage of this and brought boba, like bringing, this is maybe this sounds horrible, fire to the natives. They all, look at this, boba. And they're all amazed. So why a second shop? That's hard enough to open one. You're opening a second one.
What we have in the second shop is more space, which is great. We talked about how much of an impact we can make with a smaller space, but that's all to say we can make a larger impact with a bigger one. And we have a better location, better in that it's in downtown Redlands, which, as you said earlier, it's already a more established downtown population.
Right. Redlands, not enough people go out there. Redlands was at one time one of the most, it still is a very wealthy area. But it used to be where all the people that had the giant vineyards and orange groves and all the stuff, they built these massive old houses, or they'd come in summer there and stuff. You had these beautiful historic Victorian homes and all this stuff there. And then that downtown street, which whose name I forget, State Street, has all of these, always had cool, hip restaurants, coffee shops, other sorts of things in that area. So in the mid, because a lot of the people literally who work downtown, if they are in upper management or well-paying jobs, they probably live in Redlands.
Absolutely. We're lucky enough to live in Redlands. And like I said earlier, I'm an actor. I'm in LA multiple times a week. The easier thing would be to just live in LA, and I refuse to leave Redlands because I'm so obsessed with living here.
Yeah,
and
it's a gem that, in fact, we had somebody on years ago. This is going to go down another rabbit hole. There's a Lincoln Museum in
The Lincoln Memorial. Yeah, I go all the time because I'm at the library.
We had the young guy on several years ago who runs this thing. Why some rich guy decided to set up this little, I think it's in the library or something like that.
Yeah, it is.
And he set
up. For free. He just donated.
For free. All this Lincoln Memorial memorabilia and all this stuff here in the middle of Redlands. Why not?
Yeah,
of course.
It's so random, but that's the kind of town this is.
It's really cool.
People
though.
Are really passionate and happy to be from Redlands, and we are two of those people. So we're really proud to open a location in our hometown.
All right. So I can see already the handwriting on the wall. This is going to go big. And we're talking to Howard Schultz and his partner. Isn't he the guy that started the Starbucks?
Starbucks.
And so one day you're going to just say, we're going to say so obvious. Why not? If coffee can take over the country and tea can take over the country, why not something like boba that can take over the whole country here? Boba is, I said, right now, the flavor of the month. And if my grandson is any arbiter, who's always on YouTube, who knows all these hip, cool things like all hip, cool kids do these days here in Orange County, boba is the craze. Boba is what drives him absolutely nuts. If anybody wants to drive out, where is it at? I know, but tell us again, how you got to go to downtown San Bernardino. Was it like Court Street or something?
Yeah. Wow. Look at you. You're a little San Bernardino local after all. We are located at 455 West 4th Street in downtown San Bernardino. We're on Instagram, very active on Instagram, and also vivalaboba.com. You can find out all the information there, our menu, our hours, our commitment to the community, every community involvement we've done ever, every press thing we've done.
And I'm going to tell you what you should do. Here's a marketing plan you haven't thought of. You're so smart. You've thought of all these things. A lot of people from Orange County, including one of our show hosts here, go up to Big Bear all the time or Arrowhead, right? Going to go skiing up there. You have a little cabin up there or something. There are the lakes up there. So people are used to traveling up the thing. And what do? You either go right next to or right around or right near. I forgot. What's the road that goes up to the mountains
the
there?
The 210. Oh.
15.
No, what do you
whatever
get
the heck is it.
Yeah, it goes up to the Big
it's
Bear.
Right there. The outlet goes up. So you could easily divert, slip off the freeway, hop into downtown, easy to get in and easy to get out of there, and pick up some bulbs for the drive, the journey.
We would love
up there.
To see you. Same goes for your trip to Palm Springs. Please stop by.
Yes. I do go to Palm Springs periodically, a number of times out there, Palm Springs area. I inherited a house on the desert out there. So we go out there.
Congrats.
Out in Palm Desert. And so, you instantly. If you don't go out to 60, you can go out to 10, and you just literally just
hop
right there.
Yeah.
We're 5 minutes off the freeway going either to Palm Springs or Big Bear.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'd love to see you.
Exactly.
Yeah, listening.
It's not like downtown LA, and I could get lost.
Find us. And you know what? There's no other boba shops around. So
you grab some boba. It's about halfway to Palm Springs. You grab some boba. You're halfway up to the mountain. And you grab, I picture one of those little cardboard cartons like they sell coffees or stuff with. You could have
like a big thing of boba.
Yeah, a big thing of boba.
yeah, we're happy to do
a jug of boba or something.
Orders, so you just let us know.
It's a good break spot on the way.
Yeah, perfect. All right, viva la boba. Long live boba and long live this new business as you grow and go.
Thank you. Real quickly,
because obviously the SBDC sponsors this. Talk quickly about what you did with the SBDC, why you went to them, and how they helped you here.
So the SBDC put us through a few classes that helped us to just give us a deeper understanding of our business, our marketing, our finances. They helped assist us with getting a grant through the city of San Bernardino.
You got a grant, like one of these small business grants to bring businesses
in? Through the ARPA funds. It was either the state or the federal government gave them some money, and they SBDC helped assist pass it out. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the SBDC also introduced us to what an SBA loan is. And we used an SBA loan to help purchase our second location. So we are taking full advantage of all the information that SBDC has.
All this free services offered all the time that people just don't get. Here are two people with an idea, a crazy idea seemingly, in a place where nobody's doing this. And they said, let's go seek out a little help. And you went online and found the SBDC, and some classes led to money. And how to get more money. That's what they're really good at, not just giving ideas and mentors. Did you ever talk to, I forgot who now, his name escapes me, they got a couple really expert leasing and restaurant specialists who work with big chains and stuff here.
I can't remember specifically.
I don't know if we did, but it sounds like someone we should talk to.
Offline, I'll give you some more names here, or you can go look at the past episodes we've interviewed. The woman who used to be in charge of leasing for the Brea Mall, she's now a consultant for the SBDC. And the other guy whose name is on the tip of my tongue, everybody's going to scream at me. He's going to scream at me when I hear this. And he's worked with all sorts of big restaurant chains all over the country and small restaurants, startup restaurants and stuff. And he's a consultant with the SBDC.
That's awesome. We haven't spoken to anyone who hasn't been amazing. We can wax poetic about community and this, that forever, but none of this happens without money or funding.
Yeah.
And so their ability to connect us with funding has been so paramount.
All right. Thank you for that. And I thank you for bringing San Bernardino some cool boba culture here. I'll definitely have to stop out on my way to Palm Springs or up to the mountains one time here and check it out in the breezeway, in the cool little area in downtown San Bernardino.
We look forward to seeing you.
All right. Give us a website, or how do they reach you again if they want to learn more?
You can find us at vivalaboba.com or on Instagram at vivalaboba.
All right. Viva La Boba. That says it all. We'll see you next time here on, as we continue these Profit Talks conversations. As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.